fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're beginning the fifth week of Lent. Hope you've had a good Lent. Tried to, each week to walk along with you, just in my own mind, in my own prayers, my own heart, my own imagination. I've been thinking a lot about you who are listeners who tune into the program regularly. I know I hear from some of you and say thank you for the prayers that you direct toward me. I appreciate it very much. But I also felt like it's funny how radio works. Even though we don't see each other face to face, I feel a sense of community with those who tune into the program on a regular basis. And part of the reason I feel that, I feel a kind of unity because I feel like the Lord gives me things for you. As I'm praying, as I'm preparing radio programs, the themes of the day and things, and I'm thinking about you, I'm just thinking about my own life, you and others who I know in terms of what's happening in people's lives and what people are facing today, and I feel like the Lord gives me things, and it feels personal. Radio is an interesting medium, friends. It's very personal medium, even more than television. It just feels different. Anyway, I wasn't intending to start the program that way this morning, but it's just what was on my heart. So welcome back. Those of you who are regular listeners who have heard the program before, or those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, I want to welcome you as well. Well, yesterday, the church gave us a couple of dynamite passages from Scripture for the readings at Mass. The second reading, in particular, from Romans, and then the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. It's kind of a long reading. I want to touch on a bit of it today. But to begin with, I'd like to look at the Romans 8 passage. Now, St. Paul is articulating, or the church gives us both these passages together, really all of them, the Old Testament passage as well that was given to us from Ezekiel, where the Lord promises that the prophetic word is God's going to put his spirit within us. They will know God's going to open graves and going to rise from the grave. So this is a theme on Sunday. Yesterday was preparing us, of course, for the celebration of Easter, the anticipation of, again, remembering and living with and bringing to mind the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Augustine reminds us that Christianity is, he said, the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is about new life. It's about new life that was born in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth, the new creation begun in him. So the Romans 8 passage begins this way. Romans 8, verses 8 through 11. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. It's an extraordinary passage. So try to take it apart line by line here, and then we'll make our way, hopefully, to touch on the gospel reading of the raising of Lazarus and how it relates to this passage as well. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What's Paul talking about? We've talked many times on the program, what's the biblical meaning of the word flesh? Flesh is that fallen dimension of our lives. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're born into sin. We bear original sin. What that means is there's a dimension of our being in our hearts that's fallen, that resists God, that insists on my way, not God's way. My will be done, not God's will be done. It's ego-driven, and it's that resistance to God that's present in us. And that living in the flesh, living by putting myself first, relying on my own resources, Paul tells us here, cannot please God because we put ourselves first. And what's the point of being human? What's the purpose for which God has made us? He's made us to know him, to love him, and to serve him. And we see who we're meant to be in the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled the commandments. Jesus' entire heart was toward loving the Father and pleasing the Father. It's the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ that's been given to us. And Paul will touch on that here because it's the Spirit of Christ, he said, that gives us life, gives us a new heart, a new capacity to live a new way of life. So the person that's in the flesh, in the ego-driven reality of the flesh, cannot please God. But Paul says, you're not in the flesh, but in contrary, you're in the Spirit, only if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So this is essentially why the church exists, to move people, to make it possible for people to come out of life in the flesh, my biological life and my fleshly-oriented heart. Lead me where? Leads me ultimately both to natural death, but ultimately to separation from God, because my heart's not united with God. What I need is a new heart. So the prophecies we hear occasionally, even in this season, we'll hear it a lot after Easter from Jeremiah, from Ezekiel and others in the Old Testament, anticipating, prophesying that God's going to give you a new heart. He's going to replace your heart of stone. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. In that sense, there he's talking about being able to receive a heart that is brought to life by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the Christ is the one who will come and give us a new heart. So Paul is saying these are to baptized people. The church exists to bring people to the waters of baptism in obedience to Jesus, who said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you won't have eternal life. The only way to lay hold of eternal life is to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, whose Spirit was stronger than death itself, to have a share in his own Spirit. That's how we have victory over death, and that's how we share in eternal life. It says, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Go back to the first chapter of John's Gospel. John is testifying what happened to him, what happened to the apostles when they encountered Jesus and they were baptized by him, what happened on Pentecost when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. John tells us he gave us power to become children of God. Who are those that belong to Christ? Those who have been brought from death to life in baptism through the gift of the Holy Spirit. What makes you Christian? The word Christian really is rooted in Christen, which is rooted in Christ, which is the name we give for understanding what? Messiah. What is the Messiah? The Messiah is the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Christian is one who's filled with the Spirit. The Christian is one who's anointed by the Spirit. Christian is one who lives by the Spirit. Paul says who walks by the Spirit. So that's the distinctive characteristic of what it means to be Christian, is that by virtue of your baptism into Christ, by repentance and receiving the forgiveness of sins, the washing away of the stain of original sin, and becoming a temple of the living God, that's what it means to be Christian. And we have an identity and we have a future because the Spirit of Christ, who is the future, he's the only future of the human race, because his Spirit dwells in us. And that's a gift. It's a gift from God for each and every one of us. And it's that Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, that makes us children of God. In our baptism, the old man that insists on being his own master, living by my own priorities, my own drives, sitting on the throne of my own life, having the wheel of my own car firmly in hand and not letting God be at the center of my life, driving my life. It's the Spirit of God in me. In baptism, Jesus claims me for his own. I no longer belong to myself. I belong to Christ. So Paul's just underlining that fact. He says, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, our biological life is going to come to an end. It's because of the consequence of sin. But something in you now has come to life. Paul says the Spirit is alive in you because of righteousness. You were put in right relationship with God because you've been united to Jesus Christ, who made you right with God. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. It's the promise of the resurrection. It's at the heart of the church's proclamation to the world of what Christ has done. If the Spirit of Jesus, the one raised from the dead, dwells in you. So this is important to see. Eternal life is not the result of, it's not a human achievement. It's not the result of my own personal righteousness. It's not the result of my efforts. It's a gift from God given to me in baptism. And it's the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus that dwells in me. And if that's the case, if it's Jesus' Spirit, there is no other Spirit. There's no generic force. There's no Spirit of Buddha. There's no Spirit of Muhammad. There's no generic Spirit. There's one Christ. There's one Lord. There's one anointed one. He's the one who's alive. He's dead and he's alive again. And it's his life that's given through the ministry of the church for the salvation of souls. And people can move from death to life, from darkness to light, can enter into eternal life only through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's God the Father's provision for the entire human race. God's Son took on human flesh to rescue a lost race of people who were separated from God, without hope in this world, without a future. And he came, he died our death. He shed blood to be a sacrifice for our sins. His blood cleanses us. He's come after us. He's made it possible for us. And his loving obedience to the Father and his victory over sin and death for you and me to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can pass from death to life. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. How does your mortal body, which is heading toward the grave, how is your body going to be animated by a life that will never die? Through the Spirit that dwells in you. That's the heart of the Christian life right there. That's the gift of eternal life, which Jesus speaks about. And I'll just touch on momentarily because I want to take up the Lazarus reading tomorrow in greater detail. We know the story. Mary and Martha, Lazarus, a family, friends of Jesus. Lazarus dies and Jesus comes 3 or 4 days after he had died. And Martha and Mary are heartbroken. They thought that if he'd have come early, he could have healed him. He could have done something. And Jesus says to Martha, Jesus goes toward the stone. He says, the gravestone that blocks the doorway to the tomb where Lazarus is laying. Jesus says, take away the stone. And Martha, the dead man's sister, scripture said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus responds with this beautiful line. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Internalize that passage. Imagine Jesus speaking to you. Jesus is saying to you about your whole life and about your future. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus has come to bring to each one of us the glory of God. And by his grace, if we believe, we will see it, we'll believe it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.